Today is April 28, 1976. Today's interview is with Georgette Smith, or Mrs. Elmer Smith. Mrs. Smith is presently a resident of Racine, Wisconsin, although she did live in Beloit until 1926. The interview is taking place at the home of Mrs. Smith's cousin, Elizabeth McKnight, at 1021 6th Street in Beloit, Wisconsin. My name is Clem Imhoff. Now, Mrs. Smith, I was wondering if you could begin by telling us about your family's background. I believe it was Louisville, Kentucky, right?
That's right. I was born and reared in Louisville. I lived there until I was 17 years of age with my grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Marion Price. And they became quite old and feeble, and they came to Wisconsin to live with their daughter, their only child. And my grandparents, who reared me, also brought me along. And I lived with my aunt, Mrs. Robert Mayo.
Now, what about your grandparents in Kentucky? What do you recall about their background?
Well, my grandparents were, not that I recall, but they were slaves, and my grandparents lived with people by the name of my grandfather lived with people by the name of Campbell, and my grandmother lived with people by the name of Logan. And at slavery time, as they moved in after slavery time, they moved into Louisville, Kentucky, and that's where they reared their family.
Did they ever talk much about slavery and what happened
yes,
to them?
Yes, they did. My grandparents talked a lot about slavery, and about how good the people were to them, the white people who reared them, who had them as slaves, were very good to them. My grandmother even lived in the house with the white people. She acted as nurse's maid, and she had very long hair, naturally. Mm-hmm. But the slave mother, Logan, she kept my grandmother's hair cut real close to her head so she wouldn't look like the rest of the children.
Now, Mrs. Logan was who again?
Was the owner of my grandmother.
I see. And why exactly did she keep the hair cut close?
Well, so she wouldn't look like her children.
Oh, I see. Now, are there any other, did your grandmother tell you anything else that indicated that she was well treated by the Logan?
No, she never had anything harsh to say about them. She talked as if they were all very good to her. Mm-hmm. And after slavery, and after my cousin and I were some size, one of the sons came to visit us. And he hugged my grandmother and gave her some money. And he was the head of the, I think it was the Courier Journal paper there in Louisville. Mm-hmm. And he came, and my cousin Charlie was insulted when this man embraced my grandmother and was on the verge of throwing a rocket. Now, I know this is not the kind of information you're seeking.
Oh, it is. It is. Exactly. I assure you. No, that's a very interesting story. Now, what about, how old was your, first of all, how old was your grandmother when she was freed?
I don't know, but it was before any of the children were born. And my aunt, how old would she be?
She would be 103 or 104. She was still.
Yes, I just say that's been a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. So she was a very young person yet then when slavery ended for her.
Yes, oh yes, okay. They were just young, real young. We have pictures, we had pictures of them. Mm-hmm. And they were in the, my grandfather, I think it was 25 or something mm-hmm. like that.
Was she freed as a result of the, as a direct result of Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, or was she freed before?
That
or
I
after,
couldn't
do you
tell
know?
You. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know. I never heard that discussed. But slavery was abolished before they were freed. They became free.
Now, what about your grandfather's experience as far as slavery was concerned? What do you recall him telling you about that?
Well, the two families, the Camels and the Logans, properties joined. And my grandfather used to sneak through the fence and go over and see my grandmother. And I lost my thought.
I'd asked about your grandfather and what he'd told you about his experiences in slavery.
Oh, they both declared that the people were good to them, that the slave owners were good to them.
Did your grandfather have any particular stories that he told you about the kind of work that he did or the way he was treated or anything?
No.
Now,
they didn't seem to have any hard feelings toward the Camels nor the Logans.
Now, again, with regard to your grandfather, did he ever say what he did when freedom came? You know, just how did he react and what did he do?
I don't know what they did just at the time. I don't know just when they came to Louisville. But they, you can see by her mother that they had been in Louisville a number of years.
Mm-hmm. You've indicated that both of your grandparents didn't harbor any resentment against either the Campbells or the Logans.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering how they felt about slavery itself, though. Did they ever express any feelings about that? Did they Did they ever say how they felt about slavery itself as opposed to their, you know, their masters?
I understand you, but I don't know how they felt when, you know, during the time they were slaves. The only thing I can say is that they say that the people were good to them. Mm-hmm. The slaveholders were good to them. My grandmother, as I said, lived in the house with them and acted as nurse's maid.
Do you know what work your father, your grandfather did as a...
My grandfather was a carpenter. Uh-huh. And up until recent years, there's some nice houses in Louisville that he built for the white people. Down on 3rd Street. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a skilled carpenter. He was very good.
So he actually learned a trade as a slave that he was able to use later on.
I don't know where he learned it.
I never
heard him say.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, let's move on to your own experiences living in Louisville. What are the things that stand out in your mind as you grew up in Louisville?
Well, my school days, that's the only thing that I can recall right off. I enjoyed school, but I wasn't able to go as I should, I mean, to continue, because my grandmother and grandfather had gotten older, because they were already old. They weren't able to keep me, and I ain't gonna tell this because it'll reveal my age. I went to school there, and I had to quit because they weren't able to. I had to go by streetcar, you see. And they couldn't furnish me with fare. And it was a long way. I had a long way to go to, especially high school. And
now, so you did start high school, though.
Yes, I did.
Now, what about the schools? Were schools in Kentucky that time segregated?
Yes, they were. Yes, all schools were segregated.
Did you have the feeling that the school you attended or the schools you attended were as good as those that were available for white children, or was there some difference?
I feel that they were just as good because we had the same supervisor of principals, supervisors of music, supervisors who made monthly visits to the schools, and they visited the white schools the same as they did the black.
Now, are there any recollections that you have about school in particular, things that stand out in your mind that might be different from what people experience in school today?
is I don't quite understand the question.
Are there any, do you recall anything about school in your time that might be different from what people experience in school today?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not in touch with any young people. I have none of my own, so I'm not too much acquainted with it. She wants me to tell you about the floods.
Okay, good.
And my grandfather moved from the country to the city of Louisville. The floods came. It was a flood in 1907. There I go tell my age again.
You should be proud of your age. You know.
There was a flood in 1907, and there was two in 1913. And we had to vacate our property. My grandfather had bought in a certain district that was kind of low, I guess, low land. But when the floods came, they covered lots of Louisville because they didn't have any respect to persons. Those floods didn't, because the water was back up in the sewers. And people, even on hilly parts of the world, that never even dreamed of water, were flooded out, and they have to get moved to higher ground. And the thing of my grandfather's treatment, he was highly respected in the neighborhood after I got to be 10, 12, 13 years old, I can recall. And he was highly respected, and it was a man that he worked for in particular. This man would come, he called my grandfather by his last name. Price was his name. He called him Price, and he'd come passing. And he'd call my grandfather aside, and it would be on election day. And he would offer, he'd give my grandfather a dollar. And my grandfather, I'm sure, took it. Because things were hard and tough. And I'm almost certain that my grandfather took the $1.
Now, what was the reason? Why did this man give your grandfather the dollar? What
Not
was he
to
trying?
Vote.
Oh, not to vote.
Not to vote. Don't vote.
Mm-hmm. And this would have been in
the... I asked to vote for a certain person.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Do you recall which it would have been?
No, I don't know which it was. We were too small, and that was supposed to be a secret. We weren't supposed to be in on that, you know, how kids are.
Did your grandparents vote when they moved to Beloit, do you know, since we're talking about that?
No, they were too old. They had gotten quite feeble. We didn't come to Beloit until 1918. Mm-hmm. And by that time, my grandfather and grandmother were quite aged.
I wanted to ask too about your religious background while you were growing up. What do you recall of your religious training and religious experience while you were in Louisville?
Well, the extent of it was the Baptist Church. I never went to any seminary or any place like that. We went to a Baptist church, and my grandfather and a trustee. My grandfather was a trustee of one of the largest Baptist churches in Louisville. They bought this church, and they bought the ground, and they had the opportunity to buy this church from the white people, and they moved the church down the street. The women helped. The women furnished them with coffee, you know, hot coffee as they worked. Moving this church, and this church is still standing, and you would know it was an old church that had been moved. It's my church, and I go there every time I go to Louisville.
And what is the name of this church?
Little Flock Baptist Church.
And why was it moved in the first place? That seems to be an awfully difficult thing to do with a church.
Well, I suppose the white people were going to build a finer church or build something else. As a matter of fact, I don't think it's a church on that corner now.
But anyway, they were going to use that land, the land on which the church was, for something else.
That's right.
Okay. Now, What about your participation in church activities? What were some of the activities that went on in the church at that time that you remember?
I sang in the choir as a girl, young woman. As a girl, I'll say, because I wasn't supposed to be 17. I sang in the church choir there in Louisville.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to ask.
We had a pipe organ and a very fine organist.
I also wanted to ask and this goes along with both school and church, I guess, but what really were your aspirations as a youngster? What did you want to do, or what did you want to be as you were growing up in Louisville?
I when I was real young, I wanted to be a school teacher. That was my greatest ambition. To be a school teacher, but conditions were such that I wasn't able to do that.
Now, when you say conditions, just what do you mean? You know, what were the conditions that prevented
financially,
that?
Financially, we were unable. My grandmother and grandfather were both up in age, and my aunt here would send money home to him so we could subside, and I don't know what they would have done if it hadn't been for them and a granddaughter. The granddaughter is now living in Cleveland, Ohio.
So even though this is after your grandfather had ceased his carpentry work, is that right?
What do you mean?
That you had hard times in Louisville. I'm assuming that while you did carpentry work,
His age. My grandmother and grandfather were 88 years old and like that.
When they moved to Beloit?
When they died.
Or when they died?
Died here. Mm-hmm. Died here in Beloit. My grandmother was 86, and my grandfather was. My grandmother was 88 years old when she died. She died in 1925.
Now, how did you feel about this move to Beloit and leaving Louisville? How did this affect you, and what did you feel about
it? Well, it was a great relief because my grandfather's mind wasn't too good anymore, and he would slip off, you know, and we wouldn't know he'd be out of the house. I remember we'd gone to bed at night, and my grandfather appeared to be all right. It was periodical. It wasn't all the time. It was just at times. And my grandmother would wonder if he'd gone out in the yard, where he was, why he didn't come in the house. And she finally waked me up and said, "Georgia, your grandfather is out of the house. He's gone." And I would get some of the neighbors and I, even in the coldest of winter and deep snow, and we'd look for my grandfather. So we found him one time. One time he got out the house. You see, my grandmother and I would took all the furniture out of the living room, hoping that he couldn't get mixed up with it. And we had a grate, a fireplace, you know, to warm the room. And we were always afraid that he would get his hands burned playing, moving, and he'd always think he was carting wool. Yes, he thought he was carting wool. "Grandpa, what are you doing?" "I'm carting wool." And I'd close all the windows, lock all the windows, lock all the doors, and he'd be determined he would go in and out, and he'd go, and he'd call me by my mother's name. He lost track of me. He called me Maggie. "Maggie, you better open this door now. You better let me out of here." And sometimes he'd say, "Maggie, come on, let's go. We don't live here. Let Laura stay if she wants to. Come on, let's go." He was a wonderful, wonderful old man.
Now, when you got to Beloit, what were your first impressions about Beloit? What did you think about Beloit when you first came here?
Well, when I first came here, there were only 300 odd Negroes in Beloit. And it was kind of hard getting used to such a few people. I mean, to live in a town where you knew practically everybody. I only know one person had lived here at that time that I don't remember, and I never did get to meet him. It was one man that lived here, elderly man. But I knew everybody else that was in town.
Which year was this that you came, by the way?
1918.
And where did you first live, you and your grandparents?
We lived in here.
Right, when you got to Beloit, yeah.
We lived right across from Perigo's house on Emerson Street. Right. On Emerson Street.
Now, did you feel, how would you describe your welcome to Beloit, if it was a welcome, really?
Well, I didn't find any difference here than I found in Louisville. I can't think of anything different.
And what were the first things that you did in Beloit? You were a young woman here. Did you seek work, or did you attempt to go back to school? Just what?
I went to work. I was about 18 then, and I went to work for Fairbanks Morris.
I wonder, Mrs. Smith, were there any things about Beloit that seemed strange to you or different?
No, I don't recall anything being any different. We were made very happy, my grandfather, my grandmother, and I, to come to live in a home with my aunt, Ms. Mel.
But as far as you were concerned, it was pretty much like living in Louisville.
Yes, I saw no difference.
What about the cold weather? Did it bother you at all?
Well, one winter there was, I guess it wasn't the winter of the flu epidemic. But one winter, as soon as I came, and I was working at Fairbanks and Morris, and I had laid in snow up to my waist, trying to get to and fro.
Did you like the snow? That was certainly something you experienced snow in Louisville, but not that much.
I had plenty of experience with snow. There was no, as I said, my grandfather was sick. And there's no man in our family, in our home. And I had to shovel the snow to the barn and the chicken house and so forth. And so I can't think of any difference. And when I was supposed to be baptized, emerged in the water. There was so much snow and ice, the streetcars weren't running. And I had spent Friday night with some friends, and I was supposed to be baptized that following Sunday. And the streetcar line, the main streetcar line, was out because of the depth of the snow. And I thought, well, maybe this one isn't running, but the one I have to transfer to will be running. And I got on I walked to the second streetcar line. And those cars, we called up first, and they said the car had gone through. And so I thought, well, if I can get that far, I can get the streetcar home. And that streetcar wasn't running. And the snow was so deep, it wasn't running Sunday. It was all day Sunday, clearing the snow, and so I didn't get baptized then until March of the following year. This is in November, And I didn't get baptized until March the following year because of the weather conditions.
Now,
That's some history. I have some history, haven't I?
That's for sure. Now, I was wondering, you mentioned that there were around 300 Negroes living in Beloit at the time you came. Were you welcomed by them?
Oh, yes.
Most,
new girl in town.
Well, tell us a little about being the new girl in town.
There's much to say. Most all the people here were from Pontotoc, Mississippi. And I had to make friends with all those people. And that's all there was to it. I just had to meet them, that's all. They all treated me with respect, and I have nothing against any of them.
Did the people from Pontotoc seem to have any different customs or ways of doing things than you were used to?
I had to become accustomed to them, and they had to become accustomed to me.
Yeah. Well, now, what was there to become accustomed to? Anything that stands out in your memory?
No.
Any differences in language, for example?
No difference.
Okay. Okay, you were saying about your father now.
Was a soldier in the Spanish-American War. He was a cavalryman. In the Spanish-American War. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have much dealings with my father because he married a couple of times after he came back, after he was freed. Mm-hmm. And he always managed to marry a woman about my age. This is so he treated me nice, but he didn't do anything for me, considering that grandmother and grandfather were old and unable to. He'd tell my grandmother to bring me down Saturday night. It cost money to ride. It cost a nickel. Mm-hmm. He say, bring her down Saturday night, and Papa's going to buy her such and such a thing. And we go down, and Papa say, I'm sorry, I can't do this today, but you come next week. And I'm going to do so-and-so. Uh-huh. And it was just promises.
Sure. That's always a sad experience for a little girl, isn't it?
Yeah. So then he died, my wife sent me a telegram to come. And I started not to go. But then I thought again, and I went. All right, I'm going to go ahead in my story. We went, every time I'd go to Louisville, I'd visit him. But I went down there one time, and I drove down. I with some other folks drove down. So I drove down to see him. he was down in the bed sick. And he wanted to come home with me. I'm going home with George. His wife said, George, get back in that bed. You can't go anyplace, you're sick. No, I'm not. I'm going home with George. So finally this wife, my father got up out of bed and got his best clothes and was going to dress. And his wife, this young wife, went across the street and got his sister. And his sister said to me, kind of under breath, the only thing to do is to get in the car and drive on the way. So that's the way I left him. I got in the car and drove away, let him dressing to come home with me. He had never done anything for me. And why he wanted to come home with me, I guess I wanted to see if I could treat him the same way.
All right, now, you mentioned earlier that soon after you came to Beloit, you went to work for Fairbanks Morse. And I was wondering just what your work was at Fairbanks Morse.
Janitress.
And how did you get that? How did you get that job?
I don't know. I wasn't the only one. There was about three colored women working under Mr. McCard.
So you were working under
Mr. McCard.
This is John McCord now?
That's right. Uh-huh.
I see. Now, could you tell us, what do you recall about Mr. McCord? He was one of the early recruiters, one of the people that Fairbanks Morse sent down to Mississippi, as I recall.
I was
wondering what you recall about him.
That was before I came.
I see.
You see, as I say, he was a janitor. I mean, he was the head charge of Fairbanks Morse building, office building, when I came.
Okay, now I wanted to ask you just a little bit about John McCord. I know that you actually knew Walter Ingram better, who Ingram was another recruiter, but I'm wondering if Mr. McCord ever told you anything about that recruiting experience that he'd been through.
Never.
He didn't mention that at all.
No.
Yeah, all right. Then
Mr. McCord never talked a great deal. And the only interest he had was his new home. He did say he had a lovely home on the north side.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing he'd talk about. I'm decorating or something like that.
Yeah, I see. Now, what about Walter Ingram? Just how did you get to know him?
Well, his brother lived right next door to my aunt. Mm-hmm. And not only that, everybody in Beloit knew everybody.
Sure, okay. Right. Now, here again, did he ever tell you anything about the experiences that he had recruiting?
No, I never was that close to Walter Ingram. Mm-hmm. He's preaching now. He has a church in Racine.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I was wondering if you recall anything about your husband's family, the princes in Beloit.
My husband's family?
Right.
My husband's family were Native Racinians. There was only 3 Cheyenne families lived here when my husband's family was living here. He never was in Louisville. I mean, he never came from Louisville.
Right.
My husband went to school, was brought up and went to school here. Mm-hmm. And there was only three Cheyenne families here mm-hmm. when he was a little boy.
Is there anything else now that you would like to share with us that you think we should know about the history of the black community in Beloit? Any other topics that we haven't talked about that you think we should talk about?
No, I don't know of anything.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much, Mrs. Smith.